Come to order, please. This is January 31st, Thursday, 2019. The time is 9 a.m. In attendance are myself, Senator Stevens, Senator Birch, Senator Hughes, Senator Costello, and I think Senator Begich is out of town right now. But so we have a quorum. Conduct business. Today we'll be hearing Senate Bill 31 relating to the University of Alaska credit transferability. Intention today is to roll this out to get the conversation on the table, to begin the discussion, hear from relevant stakeholders, entertain questions if we have time for them, and discuss the bill, and also take public testimony if we have time, and then hold the bill for further review. Any questions or comments before we start? Thank you. Senate Bill 31, I'll ask Tim Lamkin to introduce the bill and do the sectional analysis. Tim.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens and the Education Committee. Before you is Senate Bill 31. It is an effort to improve the transparency of the transfer process for on behalf of students transferring between our University of Alaska system. Historically and across the nation, students have lost nearly half of their college credits they earn transferring from one school to another, placing them at risk burning up their eligibility for financial aid and having to repeat courses. Now, often, of course, as to save money, students tend to go to lower cost community colleges or less formal schooling before heading to a university to complete a bachelor's degree, and they're often frustrated to learn that the base courses that they've taken don't transfer, and they have to repeat them again and enroll in new classes, and it of course takes much more time. That means more money, more time before they can graduate. There's some data out there from the U.S. Department of Education that confirms this, and from 2004 to 2009, I'm still working on some more current data, but there's certainly a significant number of students that are losing a lot of credit when they try to make these transfers for any number of reasons. So this is an effort to improve that. It's certainly want to give a nod and due respect to the Board of Regents for their efforts to date. There is a board policy that addresses this, but not a statute. They have certainly made great strides in, or I venture to say, strides in improving the alignment of the curriculum across their campuses and making improvements to the transfer of their credits. But the question here before you is it enough? Having some experience with the university system myself, I know that there's been a question that's gone on for decades as to are we one or are we three? And this is kind of the what's being asked here once again. And I know that that's a conversation that the Board of Regents wrangles with and has wrangled with for decades, and they've also wrangled with the transfer of credits. In your packet, you'll find a helpful study or analysis by the ECS, the Education Commission of the States. It's got a breakdown state by state of what's happening with four different questions regarding the transferability of core lower division courses. I'll come back to that. The second being, they have statewide common course numbering, statewide guaranteed transfer of an associate degree, and statewide reverse transfer. And if you look in that packet, it'll go into detail as to defining each of those things. I looked specifically at the transferability of the core lower division courses, which has been the main thrust of the University of Alaska. And there is a board policy that indicates a student who completes a general education requirement, the acronym for that is GER. You're going to be hearing that GER probably a lot in this conversation. At one university system, one university campus to another, and that policy has been set, and it's recognized, and it's an important goal that the Board of Regents has recognized. The other things of course numbering and the associate's degree transfer, they're in quote-unquote encouraged, but that's not mandating a guarantee of an associate's degree. Now, the university system is going to be speaking to this, I'm sure. That concludes my introduction of the bill itself. We have Dr. Paul Lehrer online who's standing by to answer questions and talk about this. It's my understanding, of course, President Dr. Johnson is very interested in this subject but was unable to join us this morning. With that, Mr. Chairman, I stand by for questions and to go through the section for you.
A question, yes, please, Senator Costello.
Thank you, and I appreciate the legislation. It's, I guess, a little surprising that the transferability requires a bill. And my comment is related to that comprehensive study that the university had done where they looked at all of the different challenges they face. And I'm just curious if the committee could ask for a general report on the status of all of these issues, because I know transferability was a real frustration for students, and it was something that was highlighted. And I think it was called the Fisher Report, if I remember correctly. Just wanted to put that on the record.
Sir.
Thank you. A response. And I need to just comment, too, that Mr. Lamkin has some experience in this. He served as on the Board of Regents as a student when he was at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, so he's had some experience with it. A response, please, Tim.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Costello, yes, I do have the Fisher Report on file. I'm sure that the university is well aware of it as well, and it's probably staying. I'm not going to speak on their behalf on that report, and thank you for the nod. I served as the vice president of the board at that time, was the first student regent to have ever been elevated to the executive leadership of that board. It was pretty cool.
Thanks. Thank you. Senator Hughes.
Yes, I noticed in the Education Commission of the States report, just leafing through it briefly, that there were some states, Colorado was one, Florida, Illinois, who were yeses to all the questions, and Alaska was yes to one and no to three. But the one that we're yes to, the board policy is that within the system, the general education requirements would transfer, would be accepted. So I'm wondering about the need of the legislation. If that's already board policy, are we having problems where it's not being implemented at the ground level, or?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I too did a quick a tally of the yeses and nos, and it's about split 25 states yes and 25 no. Depending on how you look at it, but that is the question here before us: is the policy that's in place enough? And you know, half of our states have put a statute to reinforce that, and half have not, and just relied on an agreement amongst the university system itself. That's the question before you. I have looked at the online versions of each campus's GERs, and they appeared on the surface to align, but I think a big part of this bill is to ensure that it's very transparent and easy for students to understand before they go into the system. That's probably part of the bill, and whether or not we need it is again the question.
And Mr. Chair, I have other questions that are more technical to the bill itself, the language of the bill, so I don't know if you wanted to do the sectional first, because he's talked more in broad terms about the purpose of the bill. So.
Yeah, let's do the sectional first, if you don't mind, I'll come back and pick up all the questions. Any other comments?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you for bringing this forward. I'm keenly interested in this graduate student and undergraduate student at the university, and I know and I'm aware of transferability issues from the Fairbanks campus to the Anchorage campus, where in one example you had a student that was able to earn an associate degree but had probably 1.5 times the credits required to earn a bachelor's degree, just because of the lack of conformance, if you will, between a journalism program in Fairbanks and a similar program in Anchorage. So I will be paying close attention to this, and we'll be looking forward to the university and a representative from the the Board of Regents and the university administration into how what kind of progress they're making absent legislation to kind of spur that on or provide some sideboards in that effort. A follow-up on that would be, as we've in Anchorage have come to be aware of a lack of accreditation in the education component of that school, it'd be interesting. I'd like to understand how credit how transferable those credits are. Are they damaged credits only in the education arena, or can you pick up your credits at the University of Alaska Anchorage, move them to Fairbanks, and some come across and some don't, and that may be more appropriate for the university. But I think this is a very, very topical and very good work. Thank you. Forward to the second.
Thank you, Senator. I think you're correct. The progress has been made by the university. This has been I was with the university now 20 years ago, and so things have changed. But at that time, you're really responding to students. Students were upset that they weren't able to transfer credits, or they had to take another class again that they'd already taken. And I know it's not easy, because what one campus may require for U.S. history class may be different from what another campus requires. So in making it work, it's going to be difficult. But I think it's an appropriate thing to ask the university, and anxious to hear what they have to say, where they are right now. If they're doing everything and this is unnecessary, then that's fine, and it needn't go any further. But if there are problems, and I really hope we'll hear from students as well as faculty and everyone who can tell us where we are right now and if there's any need to continue with this. Well, thank you very much. Tim, would you go ahead with the sectional analysis?
Mr. Chairman, before you should be Senate Bill 31, version M, as in Michael. Section 1. And there is only one section. It adds a new section to the duties of the University of Alaska to include a new subsection 1440.185A, that the Board of Regents shall establish a foundational curriculum. And that that phrase is used repeatedly through the bill. And on a side note here, Mr. Chairman, and for the information of the committee, this language was drafted off a model in Oregon. That was Oregon law adopted in 2017. Foundational curriculum for each major degree program, identifying a list of required first-year lower division courses that will be fully transferable between each campus of the UA system. And so in establishing that foundational curriculum, the Board of Regents shall consult with the directors of each campus of the UA system, and in turn, intuitively, the directors are going to work very much closely with faculty. This is historically, or my understanding is, a lot of work is done by the faculty here. So consult with the directors of each campus, evaluate the current lower division courses that are offered at each campus for their being transferable between campuses. Identify major areas of study based on workforce demand, academic need, and so forth. Then, of course, to publicly disclose this information and the criteria used to establish this foundational curriculum, so it's transparent. Distribute that curriculum from each major area of study to each campus for replication, so they're consistent across each campus. Determine and describe these courses. And their completion standards, what is it to be satisfactory completed, the optimal number of credits to be completed, to update the foundational curricula regularly or as needed, to provide information and technical assistance to each campus for implementing this, evaluate the effect of the foundational curriculum, make sure it's successful, and to report to the legislature annually about it. And then Section B there specifies that the board shall make this foundational curriculum fully transferable to all students in the UA system, and only to the UA system, by the way. This is just for the University of Alaska. And then finally, that all students be provided with information about the transferability of these credits before they enter a degree program. That concludes the sectional, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tim. So, and I'll point out that we're only talking about foundational curriculum. We're talking about first year classes. We're not talking about every class that anybody can take at any part of the university or any department. That's not the goal here, but just this foundational curriculum. So, we have several folks signed up. Any questions at this time before we go on to testimony, Senator Hughes?
Thank you. And these might be, Dr. Paul Lehr might be the better one to answer these, because I am curious. And I will say I was a student 30-plus years ago at the university and was transferring actually from community college, and I had 2 years and an associate at that time. And when I first submitted to see what I could get transferred, I don't remember exactly, so I don't want to misrepresent it, but I want to say it was maybe only like a third was accepted. And I spent a year or two just fighting for every credit, and I eventually got every credit. But it was a lot of documentation, a lot of reaching back, you know, even to professors and getting course descriptions, and it was a lot of work. And, you know, I was pretty persistent because I knew at that time I had young children, and so it was really hard even getting what I had at that point. And, you know, as a young family and trying to pay for school and make ends meet, and it was like, I am not going to let this go to waste. So I really fought it, and eventually I got it. But I can't imagine every student having to go through that every time. So I've been very cognizant of the request year after year since I've been in this legislature to ask the university to step up and improve this. So I am, like you, very curious to hear what students are saying about their experience, because now that I see this in their policy, you know, what's happening on the ground. But I did have a question about the 1 year as opposed to two, because my understanding is for a bachelor's degree, the gen ed requirements typically are 2 years rather than one, and before you really have to hone in and not waste classes that you're taking. And typically it's about 2 years. So I was just wondering why the 1 year was chosen. And then I was also curious why on the first page it talks about, in the very first line or very first two words, for each academic program, as if there would be a different curriculum, a foundational curriculum for each major area of study. And my understanding is that an undeclared student, a young student not knowing what he or she might want to study, might not know what major area of study they're going to pursue, that is there a way we could have a year or 2 years of gen ed requirements that would work for every degree, every bachelor's degree program, so that those undecided students would not be wasting? Because if the way I see it is you have for each academic degree program in a major area of study, you'd almost as a freshman have to decide, well, I'm going to go into engineering, or I'm going to be a teacher, or I'm going to go into nursing. Whereas to me, ideally, there's so many students that don't know that first year or two. So could you speak to that, why for each major area of study, and would those curriculum be different for each major area of study so it wouldn't work for undeclared students?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, if you refer to page 2 at the bottom of there, lines 30, 31, it does touch upon students that have not yet identified a major area of study that they wish to pursue. The point there being that these GERs, the general education requirements, are pretty much entirely 1 and 200 level courses, and pretty much, and I'm sure Dr. Lehr will go into this in more detail, but pretty much general education requirements are for every student. It gives every student a base level of skills and knowledge about the world in general, and regardless if you're an art student or an engineer student or a scientist or math student, in the end, that everyone needs to understand basic U.S. history or basic technical writing or basic algebra type of things. So those are the kinds of courses that I believe that this bill is targeting, and wanted to make sure that students understand what those courses are and the extent of their transferability. If they don't choose a degree program, or if they do and then change their minds, that at least that first year of courses or so would still help them attain whatever degree that they ultimately choose to pursue. With that, I'll back off and let the academicians take the reins here, I think. If I may.
Thank you, Tim. Very, very good questions. Thank you very much for those. And interesting to hear your own personal experience in getting classes transferred. I don't think most students would would go that far, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah. And just as follow-up, Mr. Chair, so based on what you said, Tim, I'm confused why we would have to develop a foundational curriculum for each academic program. And so I guess that's my question for Dr. Lehr is, would one set, and could it be 2 years instead of one?
Very good.
Thank you very much. We will ask Dr. Lehrer that question. Further comments from the good? Okay, thank you. Let's move right on then. And Dr. Paul Lehrer is the UA University of Alaska Vice President of Academic Student and Research. And appreciate you coming forward, please. You're online. Is that right? Are you with us, Dr. Lehrer?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can. Thanks so much.
And okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to Senate Bill 31. The university, since many of us have gone to college, has done a lot in the way of transferability of foundational courses. And again, as you mentioned in our lexicon, a foundational curriculum we call our general education, or sometimes it's called a core. And, you know, as alluded to within our region's policy and regulation, we have taken steps to ensure transferability across our system. There was a question about whether we are one or three. When it comes to our general education requirements, we are one. We have one set of general education requirements, our foundation courses, which total 34 credits. So it's obviously more than just a first-year experience. It's a multi-year experience. In the various areas of oral and written communications, math literacy, science literacy, the arts and humanities, similar to the Oregon Foundation that you alluded to. So within our regions, our board policy and university regulations, we do outline those objectives across the system. And in our system, there are provisions that if a student completes all or part of this general education at any of our campuses or community campuses, they will transfer across the system. Also, I should point out that the faculty have done a lot of work based upon the results of the Fisher Report and others to align the course numbers across our system. So this is new, relatively new this year, so that a writing 111 is the same number across our system, no matter whether you're at a community campus or at Anchorage or Fairbanks or Juneau. And so we've worked a lot to do those alignments. So so when we look at those four criteria, I believe that we do meet those criteria going across the system. So I'd be happy to answer questions about specific parts of our efforts lately. And I do thank the Senate for the opportunity to highlight some of the changes and the improvements that we've made in transferability in recent years, and to be able to address some of the concerns from students and the public in this area. So thank you very much for the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, Dr. Lehrer. And could you respond to Senator Hughes' question? Maybe I ask her to repeat those just to make sure you understand what she's asking, Senator Hughes.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may have the liberty to ask another question first, because it may eliminate the need for the specifics.
Please.
It sounds like, Dr. Lehrer, that you already are implementing the policy that this bill is trying to achieve. Are you still receiving complaints from students, or do you think that you're in good shape and this transferability is occurring smoothly and consistently?
Through the chair, thank you very much for that question. We always are having students see difficulties in what they're seeing as transferring. We've tried to address those directly. I can't say that we have eliminated those. It comes down to advising. And for example, if I can use an example where we still run into problems, is if I am a student at a community campus in an associate program, and my objective is, for example, a bachelor's degree in biology so that I can go on to the WAMI program at UAA. When I look at my general education, there are lots of courses I can use to fulfill the science requirement. I could take a geology class to fulfill the science requirement. However, if I want to be a biologist, it's probably better for me to use chemistry. And so if I take the geology class, it's going to fulfill that general ed requirement, but it may not contribute to my major. And so there may be some questions about advising and helping students through the program through more curriculum. So I think that through our efforts and through the efforts of our faculty, we have removed some of those barriers, but I can't say that we have eliminated all concerns that students have at this time.
Thank you very much.
And then the other question, the earlier one?
Yes, please. But I do appreciate
Dr. Lehrer, you're not saying that students are not complaining at all. We know that they will be complaining about something or else, something or other. But Senator Hughes has a further question to ask, and then we'll go to Senator Birch.
Well, I think I kind of heard why the example of geology versus chemistry might be the answer. So that you could probably only have maybe one year of courses that would work to apply to any four-year degree, and trying to have one set of 2 years worth of courses that would apply to any degree without taking extra classes just isn't practical. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I would, through the chair again, I would say that, if the student is coming in as undecided, there is a fairly basic set of courses that we would have them take that would meet the requirements for almost any major. You do need writing. You do need communication. You do need some quantitative skills at some level. Once you get into the major, some of those, you could take algebra to fulfill the general education requirement, but once you get into biology as a major, you may need calculus in addition. And so you may have to take additional courses to meet the needs of the particular major. But if I were a student coming in undeclared, I could have basically 2 years of curriculum that I could take anywhere in the system that would meet those general education requirements at any of our universities.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Dr. Lehrer, for your availability today. I had a couple of questions. One on catalogs. At the time, many years ago, that I attended the university, it was I believe your degree requirements were basically in a printed catalog that defined what your academic course load would be per year and what the minimums were in each disciplinary, if you will, to graduate. And then you needed to graduate under that catalog because it might change the subsequent year or the year after that. I don't know if you even print catalogs anymore, but just kind of out of curiosity, how does that work across the university system? And do you have a similar arrangement where a student that enters an academic program, say this year, do they have, like, if it's a four-year program, do they have that same? So they're not, the goalposts aren't moving. So they, when they enter the academic program, do they know at the beginning of the program what they need to graduate in a finite amount of time? Through the chair.
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator Birch. We no longer have printed catalogs, as you point out. We have electronic catalogs. However, they are tied to the year. And so a student can graduate under the catalog in which they entered or the catalog in place when they graduate. So we can, the students will not have the goalposts moving on them. If they're entering with a catalog with certain degree requirements, we will still comply with those. In those catalogs, we do have details on what the general education course requirements are, and if a matrix or a table, if you will, about the courses across our system that are available to count towards those general education requirements. So again, another example is that a student in Fairbanks could take an online class through UAA to meet one of the general education requirements, and that would transfer in towards their degree program at Fairbanks. And so again, as long as it's in the on that table of courses that Anchorage has approved as meeting, for example, the social sciences general education requirement, that student could take that class online, transfer it in right now into their program, and use that for their graduation. Yeah, so we've kind of gone away from paper, but the principle of a catalog as corresponding to a specific year still exists.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One follow-up?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Dr. Lehrer. Very helpful. It's nice to see that there are those standards still prevail. We have a large military contingent, certainly in my district, and kind of in Alaska in general, and a lot of them many of them are younger and interested in advancing themselves and their careers. through either continuing education or working on degree programs. Obviously, there's military installations in Anchorage and in Fairbanks and around the state, and the transferability issue has certainly surfaced in some of those discussions where they're interested, have voiced interest and concern about the moving credits from one campus to another, one program to another. Could you speak briefly to the kind of the accreditation issue in Anchorage and in the education arena? How would I'm just not real, I don't understand fully how the accreditation process works. Does it speak to the individual class or is it to an entire program? So, for instance, if you had a student that had 1 year of had completed 1 or 2 years of academics in Anchorage and wished to transfer those individual credits to Fairbanks, does the lack of accreditation impact the class specifically, or is it the program in general? And I'm just not that familiar with how that that process works. Through the chair.
Yes, please. Thank you, Dr. Lehr.
Okay, through the chair, Senator Birch, you asked a lot of different nuanced questions there. I understand that President Johnson will be testifying before this committee next week regarding the School of Ed, the details of the School of Ed accreditation issue. I will point out that all three of our universities are accredited by the Northwest Commission for Colleges and Universities, or NWCCU. So that's at a university level, and University of Alaska Anchorage just came through that review quite successfully. So our universities are accredited, which means that our courses that we teach are accredited by Northwest. The CAPE accreditation really focused on programmatic issues as opposed to course or curriculum issues, and so we have already transferred some students from UAA to UAF or UAS who are education students, and their courses transferred. Obviously, their general education courses transferred. Most of the time when we see some difficulty are at the what we call upper division or the more major related courses. I'm not speaking about education necessarily here, but different majors might have different kind of emphases at different campuses. And so where we tend to see a little bit of difficulty in transferring are more at the major level above the foundation course. The foundation courses will transfer, but maybe the political science department at Fairbanks has a different emphasis or different curriculum than the political science department at Anchorage. And so there might be some subtle differences there. With regard to military, again, we have a lot of transfer arrangements. We have ability to transfer courses from outside universities to to University of Alaska, and also the mobility within the university. And again, students can take right now, because so much is online, this ability to move or to take courses where they're offered based upon the expertise of our faculty is very important, that those students can be on base or can be in their dorm and take those classes across our system and have them count towards their degrees. And that's our objective, and I think we've gone a long way in implementing that, especially for our foundation or our core courses.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Lehr.
Thank you, Senator Marshall. That's a very important issue, and we'll look forward to hearing from the university next week on the accreditation problem in Anchorage. And so it's good to hear that students who have taken at least a year of foundational courses in Anchorage, that those courses will transfer to Fairbanks or Juneau. Yeah, a crucial issue, and we'll hear more about it later. Any further questions this time?
Yes.
Yes, please, Senator.
Thank you, Dr. Lehr, for being available today. We appreciate your knowledge and expertise. I noticed as I was looking through other states that sometimes this is handled simply by agreements between campuses or within a public university system and not statutorily mandated. So I was just wondering, has there been work to have general agreements, and that not just includes transferring individual courses, but so that associate degrees are accepted between the various campuses within the UA system. Is there work on these agreements between Even though we know that it's all the University of Alaska, we understand the accreditation process is separate for the campuses. So is it all by individual courses and each student, or is there an effort for agreements? Because the way I understand it, some of these states, it's like automatic. You get an associate degree at University of Southeast, it is recognized and accepted as Gen Ed at University of Fairbanks, for instance, if we had these agreements. So is there any effort to do this type of agreement without statutes requiring anything?
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. And through the chair, the answer is yes, an associate's degree anywhere from any of our campuses, from any of our universities, will transfer all the foundational general education requirements, and that is in board policy that we would transfer those across, and that those courses and the meeting those general ed or foundation course requirements would transfer 100% across. And that, again, we've dealt with this a lot through our policy and regulation to ensure that transferability and that ease of transfer, and we'll be looking in on that to identify. And just to speak that, you know, with regard to the need for the legislation, I think I'd like to work with your office to see exactly what we need to do to demonstrate how we have made improvements in these areas. But basically, this question about are we one or are we three? We are three separately accredited universities, but through policy and regulation, we have established one set of foundational courses for our system and guidelines. And so we do spell out those learning objectives. We have the other advantage that our community campuses are not separate from our universities, that they are part of UAF or UAA or UAS. And so when a student is at Kenai, for example, they are a UAA student. They are taking UAA courses. And so obviously they do link directly to what would happen at the Anchorage campus. And so it's a little bit different than most states when we think about going from a community college, which is usually a different system, into a university system. So I think it's important for us to emphasize the different structure that we have here at the University of Alaska with regard to our community campuses. And so students who get an associate's degree from Kenai are getting a UAA associate's degree. They are really getting a degree that will transfer 100% to UAA and actually transfer to UAF or UAS as well.
Thank you, Senator Hughes.
And to follow up, and this is by no means trying to trip you up, Dr. Lehrer, or a gotcha, but I'm just looking at the June 2018 Education Commission of the States. And for Alaska, in the column where it says statewide guaranteed transfer of an associate degree, it says no. So does that need to, do they have wrong information? Does that chart need to be corrected that the Education Commission of the States has? Or because it says there's no guarantee, and it sounds like from your response that it is a guaranteed transfer.
Thank you. Yes, through the chair, I was looking at that as well, and I will need to do a little bit more work on how they were defining guarantee, if you will. I mean, I think our policies are rather explicit with regard to transferability, but I want to make sure that I understand where they're coming from. The other thing that was a no on there, I should point out, is this question about reverse transfer. And because of the nature of our system, our community colleges and for your campuses, it doesn't really apply in the same sort of way. That is to say, reverse transfer means that if you finished most of your associate's degree at a community college and transfer to a university and get the rest of it done, that community college could award you the associate's degree. Because we are all one, let's say UAA, if you do most of your work at Kenai, transfer to Anchorage, you can get an associate's degree, but Kenai doesn't really award those degrees. It's actually UAA that awards the degree. So you can still get your associate's degree from the University of Alaska Anchorage, but it's not quite the same with regard to reverse transferring. So I will do a little bit more work on how the definitions for guaranteeing an associate's degree transfer were working. And again, over the last couple of years, and actually last May is when the faculty completed their work on general education course and curriculum alignment. So a lot of the stuff that we have completed is a little bit after the time when that report was compiled.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Dr. Lair. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate you getting back to us. Any information you may have, we'll have hearings later on this subject, and look forward to hearing from you then. But thanks for your time and your service to the university.
Thank you very much.
We have some public testimony lined up here, and we'll begin with Dr. Keith Hamilton. Dr. Hamilton is a member of the State School Board, president of his college in the Kenai Peninsula, and good to see you, have him here again to talk to us. Dr. Hamilton, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Thank you very much for being with us. Could you identify yourself, identify your position and the school that you are president of?
Yes, I'm Dr. Keith Hamilton, and I'm the president of Alaska Christian College in Soldotna.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you again. Do you have some comments, some thoughts on the bill in front of us?
Yes, thank you, Senator. I am grateful to see this bill. As I've read through it and heard testimony today, it's very helpful. I'm here today just to add to what has already been stated, that perhaps SB 31 doesn't go far enough as the 100 and 200 level associate and archer science degree programs, credits attempted throughout the UA system seem to have hiccups, and I'm glad to hear the prior testimony. I will tell you, though, that a little bit beyond SB 31, within the past 2 years, both the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education and the Board of Deed have voted to send forward to UA and all interested parties two separate resolutions calling for streamlining transfer credits within the entire state from colleges that are not a part of the UA system. And in April, actually, at this upcoming ACPE meeting, the commission will hear from a leader in the Oregon University system who has worked to accomplish this very task, easily transferability of credits within its own system, and I believe also without it, outside of its own system. And to date, I'm not aware of any significant changes that have been made following those resolutions within the university system for those schools and colleges that are outside of the university. I'm also fully aware as a college president myself that the difficulty of transferring credit into the UA system specifically, especially UAA, if you're not a part of their state system. And I've spoken with the president of Alaska Pacific University, who has also stated of their difficulty of credit transfer for their students just down the street. And then just yesterday, I had lunch actually with the senior leader at AvTech that has two great programs up at UAF that will accept their credits for full transfer in the bachelor's degree program, but UAA would not rearticulate with them when their current agreement expired, and that saddens me. My own situation is similar at the accredited institution that I serve. We have for years attempted to also get articulation agreement or easily streamlined credit transfer with UA and with our AA graduates. We even have the case here of a doctoral professor who teaches here, teaching the same basic course at both the UA system and our college, same curriculum, same professor, and it would not transfer into UA system automatically. And the university has reasons for the disallowing other accredited colleges to transfer those 100 and 200 level courses. And finally, I just want to say, I believe it's a triple win for Alaska and its students and the university. And having a seamless credit transfer articulation between all the universities within the UA system and also the accredited colleges throughout the state, like mine, that are ACPE approved, will win. And I think the students win because they're not having to take more classes to meet requirements for their degrees And as they graduate now on time, obviously saving them money and us having better graduation rates. And, of course, the university wins because more students will transfer into the UA system instead of leaving the state, as my students have had to do in order to use their earned credits. I have two right now in Minnesota in negative, I don't know, 190 degrees or something, suffering down there because none of our credits would easily seamlessly transfer as an AA degree or even individual credits into the state system. So obviously the state wins. We get to keep students employed within our state. They're Alaskan grown men and women who complete their degrees here, and they stay here. And so I strongly encourage you as the Senate committee to also believe that it's a greater issue than just within the UA system of transferability of credit. It's a statewide issue for other colleges and universities that are also trying to transfer students into the state system. So thank you, and I do look forward to seeing you all next week.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hamilton. I appreciate your testimony, and you bring up an issue that that is important as well, beyond what is in this bill, but something we certainly need to think about and consider. Further question is just Senator Hughes.
Yeah, I will just comment that Idaho does what he is talking about. I'm looking. If it's any institution accredited, regionally accredited, so not necessarily public, it must be accepted then by the public university system. So it has been done elsewhere, so it is something that we could look into.
Absolutely, and though that issue is not in this bill, it would fit in this bill, and it's something we might consider looking further into, Senator.
And I don't want to belabor this, but it actually, I don't think we'd need to do it. It would seem that the university, if they want people to go on and attain four-year degrees, and I know that's a goal of theirs, it seems like they would want these students with 2 years degrees coming from other institutions outside the UA system within our state. They would want to draw those students in and help them attain a bachelor's degree. So I would hope the university, if they're not looking into that, would consider it.
Thank you, Senator. And we'll explore that with the university. Again, thank you, Dr. Hamilton. Let's go on to Mike Coons, who is from Palmer. Mr. Coons, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you, Senator Stevens. My name is Mike Coons. I'm calling from Palmer. As written, I oppose SB 31. Reason doesn't go near far enough. First off, as to fundamental foundational courses, as a student with an associate's degree in emergency medicine, many of those courses were a waste of time and did not do a thing towards my profession. Specifically, the so-called foundational courses do nothing towards a profession such as political science, marriage and family, psychology, sociology, American national government. I did not need an algebra. I took pharmacy courses with the resulting math, so I kind of doubt that my AAS would even be accepted by University of Alaska. As a retired United States Air Force NCO who was stationed here, then reassigned, I see where a family member taking night courses over a three-year tour could amass a good year or more credits towards whatever degree they have chosen or may not have chosen the major, but getting the prerequisites out of the way for any number of majors that they are contemplating. This bill would only maybe transfer the first year. The reason I said maybe is it is in the continual comments in the bill that the Board of Regents determines what is transferable. Another major issue is that this is only related to in-state transfer from, say, UAF to UAA. Nothing about transferable to other colleges or universities out of state. I even wonder if UA will accept credits and courses from the lower 48, much less in reverse. From what I've heard today, very concerning, and I haven't heard that answer. Another issue on the one-year aspect is, what happens if a person lives or is stationed at Fairbanks or Eielson Air Force Base, gets transferred to J-Bear, and has more than a year of credit? Will that person lose that half year? What if the wording of this bill stays as is? As important, will the average student know how to check on what courses are transferable prior to taking them if a move is possible? Will UAA ensure that the college counselors that this is an issue to be knowledgeable about? This issue has been a blight on UA. I'm glad the legislature is working to correct this, but this does not go far enough for me. if I had children, to even begin to entertain enrolling my kids in UAA. Between this issue and the refusal for students to carry concealed on campus, UAA is a non-starter in my book, and I'll gladly take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Coons. You raise a very important issue. In my hometown, we have about 2,500 Coast Guard men and women who spend a couple of years in Kodiak, a couple of years in Hawaii, a couple of years in Maryland, and they're trying to work on a degree. It's very hard for them to accumulate credit that really is transferable. And so you raise a really important issue, and thank you for doing that. Any further questions from the committee? Thank you very much, Mr. Coons.
Thank you.
So any public testimony in the room anyone cares to make? If not, we'll close the public hearing on this. I'll keep it closed for this meeting, but we'll keep it open for the future. Any other comments from the committee before we wrap this up? Okay. Well, thank you all very much. There's an indeterminate fiscal note on file and in your folders, just so you'll know. At this time, I'm going to set Senate Bill 31 aside for further review. And to remind you that next week the Education Committee will be meeting to discuss the UAA accreditation with university officials and the State Board of Education. And we'll also meet with the state seismologist to talk about damage to schools in Alaska due to the recent issues we've had with the earthquake. So we'll hear about those two issues. If there's no further business before us, we're adjourned.